we have the power to do that. Damaging the kingdom of Satan. We want to start in Luke 9, verse 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. God had his, Jesus here on the earth, had his disciples. And he called them together. He was going to send them out. And he gave them power. Do you realize that if you are a disciple of God, that God gives you power over, power and authority over all devils? Authority. That means we get to tell them what to do. That's what a person in authority gets to do. They get to say how they're going to do it, where they're going to do it, when they're going to do it. They get to say. Do you realize we have that kind of power over the devil? All devils, all spirits, no matter what they are, we have the power and authority over them. Now, there are many groups of people that teach that this power and authority over devils and this power and authority to cure diseases was only given to the 12. Now, they reject, in this day and age, they reject the authority to cure diseases. In other words, they say, there are many that say, we can't force God to do things and all these things. That was just for the apostles. But they're still casting out devils. Now, how does that work? That only half of this scripture how does only half of this scripture work? It doesn't. It all works. Jesus gave authority over all of it. And so we have power and authority. The problem is that we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to use it. We don't know how to believe in it. We don't know how to come against the enemy when he comes against us so that it works. We have a tendency to sometimes cower down under the onslaught of the enemy. But I believe that God wants us to understand the kind of authority and power we have over the devil because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Amen. He lives in us. We have power and authority over the evil part of the spiritual realm. We have that. Then in Luke 10 and 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them to die too before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. So he didn't just send 12. Now he sent 70 more. So it isn't just something that was given to the 12 apostles. It was given to 70 more of his followers. We don't even know their names. We don't know who they were, but they were following Jesus and he sent them out to do the same thing. We are like the 70. We are the 70 that were sent out. And what did they do when they came back in verse 17? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They're subject to us. They have to do what we say. They have to obey when we say it. They are subject to us. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, Satan was in an exalted place. This isn't that Satan in heaven and he warred against God and the other angels. And then he fell out of heaven like so many places teach. That is not what this is. This is that he's looking, he's saying, okay, you know what heaven was for Satan? Being on the throne in your heart. Yes. That was heaven for him. Yes. That was peace and comfort for him. Being in authority over you. Yes. That was his place of exaltedness. And he says, okay, this day, he has fallen from that place. Because now you all have, and you have all discovered that you have authority. authority over him. You have power and authority over him. Behold, I give unto you power. He's talking to the 70, not just the 12, the 70. I give you power. Tread on serpents and scorpions. He's talking about evil spirits, evil conditions, anything that is evil, anything that stings and bites, anything like that. I'm giving you power to tread on it. Just walk on it. You ever been afraid to stomp on something? Have you? I've been afraid to stomp on something. It's small. It's little. Why am I so afraid to stomp on it? What is happening? What's happening in my psyche, in my head? What is happening that makes me think that I can't just stomp on this little thing down here on the ground? Some people say, oh, I don't want to hear it crush and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Listen. We better want to hear it crush. We better want to be able to tread on the enemy everywhere he sticks up his head. We need to be able to tread on him. We have the power over him. It says, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Oh, the enemy. How many times have I heard people say? How many times have I heard saints say, well, you know, I testified, so I expect that the enemy's coming after me now. You know, or every time I testify, the enemy attacks me when I get home. What are we doing? What are we saying? We are saying that he has authority over us. We are saying that, oh, I can't help it. He's coming. There's nothing I can do. No. We can testify and in our testimony saying, I rebuke Satan, you're not coming after me after this. You're not coming and giving me a hard time at home. You're not going to give me, heart palpitations and whatever else because I testified for God. We just settle down in and accept whatever he sends our way. Oh, it's just part of the price we pay because we testified. Oh, no, it isn't. We have power and authority over him. We don't have to settle for that. Amen. We do not have to settle for him bringing conditions and signs and things on our body, you know, because, oh, we testified and we sit there and we say, well, Lord, we knew this was coming because we testified for you, so help me now and all these things. And we just act like we have no power ourselves. No, we have power. We have power to resist him. It says if we resist him, he has to flee. And yet, how many times have we heard people say, I've been resisting, but he hasn't fled. What's wrong? You don't believe that you can make him go. He has tricked you into thinking that you have to do something special. You have to fast, or you have to pray, or you have to turn somersaults in order to get him to go. You can't just say, get out of here. You can't be that simple. You don't have that kind of power. You know, you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do that, and you can't get me. He's just lying. He's lying. We do damage to his kingdom when we believe, when we get a firm belief that we have power and they are subject unto us. Subject unto us. Right. You know, the angels are subject to God. Yes. Right? Yes. He says that devils are subject to us. Can we get a hold of that? Can we get a hold of the fact that the enemy does not have any power over us? The Holy Spirit lives in us. He has no power over God. Is the Holy Spirit God or not? Is that part of God living inside of us? Does the devil have power over God? Can he make him cower? Can he make him go off in the corner? We have God in us, the hope of glory. The devil can't do anything with that. The only way he does anything is we let him. We agree with him. He whispers it and we agree. He says, oh, you're going to get it when you get home. You know, you just testified, you're going to get it when you get home. And we go, oh, Lord, I'm going to get it when I get home. Help me, Lord. And we disagree with him. And we give him power then. No, we don't do that. No, I'm not going to get it when I get home. No, I'm not. You're subject to me. And you're not welcome. You can't go home. You're not welcome in my home. You're not welcome in my mind. Get out of my mind. You are not welcome here.
Amen.
I have authority over you.
Yes.
How often have you told the devil in your saved life, I have authority over you.
Wow.
Be quiet.
Wow.
I have authority. I have power. So it goes on and it says in Matthew 10 and 1, it's the same thing, but it's said a little different. Matthew 10 and 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Now, I want to ask you this. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. I mean, he gave you power for all of it. But I want to ask you this. It says he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. If you cast somebody out of your house, where are they? Outside. With the door closed.
Sure.
You cast them out. Now, some people might say, well, that's only if you're possessed of a devil, then you can cast that devil. Well, if the only time we have power over him is after he's already possessed us, we're in bad shape. We can cast him out when he comes knocking. We can cast him out when he throws that covering, that cloak of vexing our spirit and vexing us and making us feel depressed and making us feel alone, and making us all those things that he does to vex our spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we're going to let him throw a cloak over us and vex our spirits? Why would we do that? Why would we submit to that? We don't have to. We can cast him out. We can cast off the cloak. We can expose him. You know, it's like pulling off the curtain and exposing him for who he is. Say, oh no, that all of this is just coming from you, Satan. I have authority over you. I do not have to succumb to what you say, to what you do, to what you want to put on to me, to what you want to bother my mind about. I don't have to succumb to it. I have authority over you. I get to tell you what to do. You get to tell Satan what to do. You've got to understand that God is looking down and he's wanting us to do damage to the kingdom of the enemy. We are not just saved to ourselves to hide in a corner and put up our, you know, the devil has you. The Bible uses sports analogies. So you're boxing and fighting the devil, and now you're all put down in the corner, and you got your gloves up over trying to protect your face, and he's just beating you. You're still in the ring. See, you're still in the ring, but he's beating you. He's looking to knock you out. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to cower back there and be only defensive. You know, just trying to block this blow and block that blow. And, oh, Lord, help me. And block this. And tears and crying and block and block. No. You can go after him. You can take up your weapons and go after him. You can do this. You have authority.
Thank the Lord.
He gave it to all of us, authority over the devil. It said that, and then in the 8th verse, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You see, that's what God did to us when he saved us. He cast off the devil.
Yes, he did.
He had authority over him. And when you said, Lord, I want you, God had all authority to cast him away from you to where you could be free. Whether it was inside actually in you, or whether it was just vexing you on the outside, the Lord had authority because you gave it to him. We have authority because one greater than ourselves gave it to us. See, we have authority. We can cast it off. We can block him. We can stop him. It says in Matthew 11 and 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Why does the kingdom of heaven suffer violence? Why is that? Is it because God doesn't bring peace and satisfaction and happiness and joy? That doesn't sound very violent. Why does the kingdom suffer violence? Because they have a violent enemy. And the violent enemy comes against them. And they suffer violence. In other words, the enemy is coming at them from all different sides. That's what is happening. But it said, the only way we win is the violent take it by force. We have to get violent back. Now, we know this isn't talking about people, because he says we have to love people. We have to love our enemies and do good to those that are doing bad to us. So that isn't who he's talking about. He's saying you're going to have to fight the devil with force. You're going to have to get violent with him. You're going to have to show that you have authority. You know, you can be in a great power of authority, but if you never use it, it's worthless. It's worthless. If somebody is the head of a company or whatever, and he has all of this authority, but every time there's problems or troubles or anything, he shrinks away from it, and he doesn't know what to do, and he says, oh, woe is me, what do I do, what do I do? Then he's not much of an authority, is he? He's not really helping, is he? We have authority, but we have to use it. Now, you're going to have to learn to use it, because the devil doesn't respect your authority. Why? Because he's been able to fool you so many times. Because he's been able to get you on the ropes so many times. Because he's been able to keep you upset and underneath him for sometimes days at a time. Because he's been able to get in your mind, and you fight all day long, you're getting out, and he's still there. He does not respect you. He does not respect your authority. Doesn't mean you don't have it. Amen. See, you have it. You have to make him respect it. You have to do damage to him. The first thing that is going to do damage to the kingdom of Satan is when you know that you have all power and authority over them. All of them. All of them. That's the first damage you're going to do to the kingdom. Because it's hard for the devil to come back over the top of that. You know, when somebody says, when the president of the United States says it's going to be so-and-so, there's not very many people coming back over the top of him and say, no, it isn't. It doesn't happen. He takes the authority and he says so. We have to take the authority and we say so, so that the enemy does not have any power over us. The power that he exerts is actually your permission.
Amen.
The power he influences and holds over the top of you is given by your permission.
Yes. Awesome.
You say, I'm depressed. You say, I don't feel good today. You say, oh, the devil's bothering me all day long in my head. You're giving him authority to keep right on doing it.
Lord, help us.
He doesn't respect us unless we come against him. And instead, we allow him to pull all manner of tricks on us. He has no authority over us, but we give him all kinds of authority. In Luke 11, 24 and 26, Luke 11, 24 and 26 through 26. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Matthew says, empty. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, we're not talking about just possession here. We're talking about oppressing. When a spirit comes to oppress a man, you see, when he comes to oppress, and we fight him off. Maybe after a long struggle, we fight him off. But if he comes back and he finds you in the same place you were before, you haven't realized you have any more power. You haven't realized and called upon God to give you more power. You haven't realized that you need any more power. Then he comes back and it's empty.
Yes.
It's the same way it was before.
Right.
I pulled this on him before. I can pull it again. I can do it again. It says that when an evil spirit is out there, gone out of a man, it says this, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. See, there is punishment on evil spirits when they are not doing their job, when they have not possessed a person, or when they have not been successful in oppressing a person, and when they are cast off. They go through dry places. They're seeking rest. They're finding none. They have all of this against them, and it feels horrible to them. That's why those spirits, when they came out of Legion, said, please put us in the swine, because see, otherwise they'd be in dry places, seeking rest, finding none. They didn't want that. But they didn't know the swine were going to run off the cliff. And they could have been cast out anyway into dry places. Although I think they get some kind of reward if they come out of something that is dead. If the devil can kill you, I think when that spirit comes out, they get some kind of reward. But anyway, you see, when the heart is not full of God, the heart is not full, then there's room for the enemy to come in. There's room for him to dwell there. There's room for him to oppress. There's room for him to talk to your mind and badger you all day long. There's room. When you're not full, the Lord, in his word, teaches us, don't think on these things and think on these things. And do you know that most of us do the opposite? Think about it. Do the opposite. We don't necessarily call it that, but if we fill our day with a lot of the news out there in the world, what are we doing? We're thinking on things that have no spiritual value.
Yes.
We're filling ourselves with just the thoughts of the world, and it starts to bother us, starts to disturb our peace. It starts to make us feel bad. And we start to feel, you know what I'm saying? Brings in all kinds of things. People, yet the word has plainly told us what to do. But we spend too much of our day thinking on things we're not supposed to think on. And then we wonder why the devil is able to come, why he's able to come and vex us and oppress us and do all manner of things to us. Why? Because if we had our mind stayed on God all day, if like he tells us to, if we would have had our mind stayed on him, that, you know, we're singing songs under our breath and we're praying for this one or that one, or we're asking, Lord, intervene here and do this there, and we're thinking about the saints and, oh, you know, meeting's coming up and I'm going to see the saints. In other words, really good. And we fill ourselves with that. Do you know that the devil doesn't try to pull any kind of a trick when you're in that position?
Right.
he doesn't know, he not, because you would so recognize it. Because the minute he put it in there, it would be so foreign to the place you're in that you would immediately recognize it. But instead, we give ourselves over to all these thoughts and this and that, and following this train of thought and following this kind of thing, just all the opinions and all the things that are going on in the world, all those things. And so for him to, which is all his kingdom, all his kingdom. And then, so for him to insert a thing that he wants to vex you with doesn't even look foreign. You see, it doesn't even look foreign. So you don't recognize it right away until it gets big. Then you recognize it. Then you pull yourself up short and you say, how did this happen? Because of where you had your mind that you couldn't even recognize when the enemy slipped in. Because you were thinking on all the things in the world, all the things that bring depression, all the things that bring unhappiness and all. It's the things that God told us to think about. You do damage, see, to the devil's kingdom when you obey the word, when it says, think on these things. See, you do damage to his kingdom because they cannot move and operate and do things that they have been instructed to do to you. Their commander, their captain, has said, go in and bother this person all day. Vex them in their mind. Vex them here. Vex them. But your mind is so full, they can't get in. They have no place to insert themselves. They have to go back to their master at the end of the day and say, I failed. I failed. You do damage to the kingdom. You see? Instead of building up the kingdom, you're doing damage to it. Matthew 17, it says, Matthew 17, 15 through 21. This is the story of the lunatic son. And the man said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. The enemy inside of him was trying to kill him. He wanted his reward or whatever they get when they can destroy a soul. He wanted it. Whatever it is, it's something. They don't do it for nothing.
Right.
He wanted that. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they cannot cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. What is the Lord saying about us? Oh, faithless. Here you've been cowering underneath the oppression of the enemy all day. Oh, faithless. How oft? How long shall I be with you, teach you, and expose the word to you, and preach the word to you, and yet you still let this happen? How long shall I suffer you? How long shall I suffer you that you cannot learn that you have power and authority over the devil? How long am I going to suffer you? And he said, bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast it out? In other words, what happened? What happened to us? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Sometimes, see, we look at situations. We look at things on our body. We look at situations. We see things with our eyes. You see, with our eyes, not with faith, but with our eyes. And they said, why could not we do it? Because of your unbelief. See, you think you don't have power over the devil. Because I've rebuked him before, I've resisted him before, and he didn't flee. We think we don't have it. But we do. But we have to be convinced in our heart and in our minds that we have it. Now, these disciples were sent out and given power over unclean spirits. They were sent out to cure diseases. They were sent out to do this. They had done it many times. What happened this time? How did it work this time? It doesn't give us an insight into what happened. Maybe it was the crowd of people that were there, who they were trying to do this in front of. Maybe it was that one of the ministers in the meeting down in Pacoima said that, he said, howbeit at the end of this verse, it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He said, see, praying and fasting puts you close to God. So he was telling them they hadn't been being diligent. And that's why they didn't have the belief that they could do it. Now, here you are. You've been living this whole week. You've had your ups and your downs. And sometimes we get tricked by the enemy and we fall into something, or we react wrong, or we say this or that, and it weakens us and we feel like we don't have any authority. It damages our authority. It makes us feel like, you know, we're undone and we can't do it. And, oh, Lord, help me. And it puts us in a begging mode, which is not necessarily bad to beg the Lord, but you should be begging him for forgiveness. Not letting it stay in your life to hinder you the next time. But we have a tendency to let those things build up on us. You know, we have a little failing here, you know, and then we have a little failing there. And pretty soon we're saying to ourselves, am I ever going to get over this? Am I ever going to have victory? See, that's unbelief. Unbelief is coming on you. And because it's coming on you, then it's hard for you to pray for almost anything and feel like your prayers are going to get through, because the unbelief is coming on you. But he said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. If you have, it says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. In other words, they say in another place it's the smallest seed and everything, yet it grows into a large tree or a large herb. The thing is, he said, if you have just faith as that kind of a grain. But you know what it has to be? It has to be pure faith. See, it can't be mixed with something. It can't be mixed with fear. It can't be mixed with disappointment. Yeah. It can't be mixed with all of the other things that affect us in our life. It can't be mixed with any of those things. The faith has to stand up here on its own, and all those things are down underneath it, subject to faith.
Thank the Lord.
But when we don't exercise faith in this thing over here, then we don't have even a grain of a mustard seed of faith. So when the big thing comes, we don't have that either. But he says you just have to have pure faith that rises above all the other things. It has to be forefront in your mind. I have faith in God, no matter what. No matter what comes my way, no matter what I face, I have faith in God. But sometimes in our minds, see, we think, well, is God going to do it this way? Or is he going to do it that way? Or what if it's this? Or what if he allows me to stay in this pain? Or what if he allows me to stay with this? And what if I have to? And we have all of these what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. Nothing in a what if is faith. There's no faith mixed with it. And faith can't mix with it. And so we keep our faith diluted down and mixed with other things. And then when the big thing comes, we don't know what to do. And we don't know how to get out because we've let our faith be mixed with all these different emotions. Instead of keeping faith on top and all the other things underneath it. The enemy is good at this, but he was telling them, prayer and fasting. In other words, you haven't been as diligent as you should be. You haven't been praying as much as you should. Do you know that every time you pray, you do damage to the kingdom of the Satan? Every time you pray. Every time you skip prayer, you strengthen the kingdom of Satan. Do you understand how important it is? Every time you read the word, you do damage to the kingdom of Satan. Every time you skip reading, you strengthen the kingdom of Satan. Because see, he's given us all these things down here to help us what? Defeat the kingdom of Satan. That's what it's about. Defeating the kingdom of Satan. Being saved and bringing others with us. Defeating his kingdom. And so when we give in, we don't use the things he's given us down here to help ourselves, then we just strengthen the kingdom. So if you've skipped prayer and you haven't had time, I understand. And I don't want to put anybody under bondage to feel like if something happens and you aren't able to pray that you have done some horrible thing. But do you know how at school, when you have a sick day, you get to skip that work. You just get to skip it. No, they send it home. And you have to do double the work to make it up.
Yeah.
We think we can skip and then just go back to our normal schedule the next day. That's what we think. Are we serious? Are we serious about this? That we can skip all of the things that defeat the kingdom and make it stronger one day, and then just by going back to our normal schedule the next day, oh, now we can just defeat all that we just let grow? This is going to happen. We all need to come to the realization that we are in the school of the Lord and that we are learning things, and he has given us assignments and reading and prayer and fasting and all these different things are assignments that he has given us, and then we can't skip them. And if we skip them, we have to, so to speak, make them up. You just can't go on. You're going to have to do some real diligence to take back that power that you gave the kingdom the day before. You're going to have to do something to take it back. So, in Romans 8 and 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Oh, we used to fear so many things. We got into the kingdom of God, and oh, we felt so good and clean. But do you know that the devil knows that if he could keep you fearful, his kingdom grows? When you lose your fear about whatever you're facing in life, when you lose your fear, you do damage to the kingdom of Satan. You do damage to it. They are not able to work that. The spirit of fear that he casts on people and overshadows people with and everything, it can't work in your life. You've done damage to the whole kingdom. That spirit doesn't have a job. You can put it that way. That spirit doesn't have a job because he was assigned to follow you around and make you fearful. And you have cast that off. He didn't have a job. You have done damage to the kingdom of Satan. Now the devil has to pull one from over here, and they have to send two to try to get you. And maybe you have to send three. And while he's doing all of that, somebody else is getting a break. You understand what I'm trying to use all these analogies to help you to understand that the kingdom of Satan is not limitless like the kingdom of God. It's confined.
Yes.
It has just a certain amount of space that it can operate in, and it has just a certain amount of spirits. They are not being created over and over and over again. In other words, it's not expanding, except when we let it expand.
Oh, Lord, help us.
And all the sinners in the world, they're expanding. It says that the mouth of hell is expanding. Why? Because the kingdom of Satan has expanded because of what they are doing. They are allowing the kingdom to expand and to grow and to get stronger.
Lord, help.
But we have authority. We have authority. We have to make the enemy suffer. We have to make him suffer. You know how the Lord lets us suffer? To gain ground, we have to make the enemy suffer. For us to gain ground, for us to gain victory over him, for us to put him in his place. We need to make the enemy afraid of us. It says, it says that you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Oh, there's so many things we fear. We fear this, we fear that. We go on and on, all kinds of fear. And I saw this saying on this t-shirt one day. And sometimes you can't repeat sayings on t-shirts because they're not clean. But this one was clean. It says, the devil whispered to me, you'll not survive the storm. And I whispered to the devil, I am the storm. I am the storm.
Amen.
You see the difference? You see the difference?
Yeah.
See, the devil is always whispering to us.
True.
We have to say, oh, no. Oh, you're going to get it. No, I'm not. You are rebuked.
Yeah.
I have authority over you. You cannot touch me. I have authority. Be the storm in the devil's life.
Yes.
He's bringing all kinds of storms in your life.
Amen.
Be the storm in his life. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18 talks about the armor of God. And it talks about how put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. That sounds good. And we want that. But I want to talk to you a little bit different about some of these things. There's been multitudes of people that have explained what all these weapons are. And so hopefully I can give you a little take on some of them today to expand your mind about what kind of power you have over the enemy and how you can exercise it. So it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What are we wrestling against? We're wrestling against the principalities, and the powers, and the rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness. That's what we're wrestling against. It says, well, in that case, then take on the whole armor of God. You say, put on the whole armor. Don't leave something uncovered. Don't leave a weak place. In any battle, when they use armor, the other side would always know where the weak place was. Maybe it was where the breastplate didn't quite meet something on the back, and so the side was open, and so they knew if they could attack from the side, they could do a death blow. So they would always study the armor of the other one in order to be able to know how to defeat him, even though he had armor. So we can have armor, but if we don't have all the whole armor, we have some weak places. And that's where the enemy will attack each turn. So then he goes on to say, wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to sit to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're not on our knees begging. We are not sitting down, resting under a tree. We are standing. We are standing. It says, when you've done all, when you stand the evil day, you are still on your feet. You are not defeated. You are not tired. You do not let him win. You stand until it's done. You stand. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Oh, listen, dear ones. If we don't love the truth, we have a weakness in our armor. If we're wrestling with the Bible says this, but I don't know if that's necessary. The Bible teaches, but I don't know if we have to do all. You know, people over here say that you can do, and you're wrestling with all those things, but you have a weakness right now in your armor. And the devil can attack you right there over and over and over, and you will never get any peace. Amen. He will get you over and over right there. Yeah. You can have on some of the other armor, but you don't have on that one. That place is covered. It says, having on the breastplate of righteousness, a pure and holy life, not giving into the flesh. If we're giving into the flesh in this little area over here, that is a weak place in the armor. See, we don't give into the world. We don't give into the world and the flesh of the world. And I'm done with the world and I don't enjoy that and I don't do that. But in my secret closet, I eat, I have a cake. I'm sorry. But you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not sinful to eat cake.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when we give into our flesh and eat more than we should, or when we sleep, we get into sleep and we sleep away the day instead of being up and about our Father's business, or it's not wrong to sleep. But when we give into our flesh any little place, it was a weakness in our armor, and he can attack us. All right, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, your attitude. Where are you? Your attitude about things at work, about when things go wrong, about when so-and-so says this, about when that happens, about when somebody cuts you off on the freeway, about when somebody crowds in the front of the line, when you've been standing there for so long, irritation with those that you wait in this long line, you get up to the front and the person says, oh, I can't help you with that. You have to go over there. Your attitude. See, when your attitude goes off, you have a weakness in your armor. Right there, you've got a weakness, and the devil's going to hit it. He's going to hit it. He's going to hit it with something. And not only that, but he can bring another devil with him. See, if that place is empty, see, he gets to bring another one with him. He gets to attack you and bring another one with him. So he comes and attacks you about your attitude, but he brings along depression. You know what I'm saying? Now you're fighting two things.
Right.
But you didn't even know how you let it in. You didn't even know what happened. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. We have a shield of faith. But if we don't hold it up, it isn't going to do you any good. If they let their shield down, then the enemy could attack them. They could give them a death blow. They had to keep it up. What does it mean to keep your faith up? It means that you do not let anybody or anything or any situation pull down your faith. Well, they prayed. They didn't get help. Here comes down my faith. Maybe I won't get help either. You see? No, we put our faith up high. And we have to know, above all things that God has us in his control, and he is going to allow us to go through things. He is going to take us through things. We are going to suffer things. Arm yourselves to suffer. You're going to have things. You aren't going to be on a flowery bed of ease walking down a path strewn with rose petals. We get to be on the rose petals a little while here and there. Feels pretty good. You know, we get to have ease and peace ever so often. But I'm telling you, you can have more. You can have more if you fight the devil.
Amen.
If you put your authority over him. Because he's the one that robs us of peace. He robs us. He's a robber.
Yeah.
And all these fiery darts, he's just trying to get something to stick.
Yeah.
So you're going through the day and all of a sudden this thing comes and you go, oh, Lord, rebuke the devil and this, that, and the other. Okay, the devil says, okay, that one didn't stick. Mm-hmm. Well, let me see. I've got this one here. Now, this one here will touch his little, his Achilles heel, the little place that he doesn't really like anybody to touch, you know, and I'll throw it there. You throw it there and oh, all of a sudden you've got something going on and you're wondering, how did that happen? Because he has lots of fiery darts. And you're going to have to keep your life up to date. You got to keep your life up to date. You do damage to his kingdom when he can't let, when none of the darts stick. See, you do damage to his kingdom when none of the darts stick to you. You increase his kingdom when they stick. Now what? Now you're fighting for your life, fighting against the enemy. You're tied up like that for 2 or 3 days, and you're not fighting the devil's kingdom at all. You're just fighting for your life. You're just fighting for your own life. You're not doing any damage to his kingdom. He's got you on the sidelines. You're wounded. You're at the sidelines. You can't do any damage to it. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Knowing that salvation is everything. It has everything. It brings forth everything that we need. Salvation. We need to have it firmly in our mind that we have the greatest thing that has ever been given to mankind.
Amen.
And that it is invincible when it is used right. That it cannot be overcome when it is used right. That's why it's a helmet over the head. Because all things start in the mind. And we have to know that not only is God, has he saved us, not only does he love us, we have to get that, but he cares about us. He won't let us go be in something that's beyond what we can do, that he sees and looks things over ahead of time, and he won't allow anything to come that isn't good for us, that God does all things good. All of that, see, is the helmet over the mind. To where the devil can't get in and start telling you lies about God. And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, the scriptures. Oh, the scriptures. They are sharp, powerful, sharp, powerful. The scriptures are powerful. We don't act like they are. Now, if someone gave you a choice of a weapon, somebody is coming to get you, and they gave you a choice of a weapon, and they had this little tiny 3-inch sword here, and they had this great big long sword, which one are you going to pick up and think you're going to do the most damage with?
Right.
The big one. Okay, the word of God is sharper than swords. But we just take a little of the word each day. Just little 3 inches of the word. You see what I'm saying? We don't let very much. We don't spend a lot of time. We don't get the great big sword so that we have something to really hack the devil with and have it in our mind. We don't take the time to, you know, we read our little thing and then afterwards we can't remember what we read. But no, we read it, digest it, we meditate on it, we let it work in our lives. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't read just 3 scriptures. You can. If you get everything you need to get out of 3 scriptures, you will have a long sword. But you can read 3 chapters, and if you don't remember anything, and you don't get anything, and nothing has struck you that is meaningful to your life, then you just have that little little pocket knife. That's all you have. Now here comes the devil. What are you going to do? You know, poking. And that's what a lot of people do. They spend all their time poking the devil instead of slaying him. They just poke at him every day. Poke, 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 poke. But they don't really have what they need to slay him. Listen, when the devil comes after you and he starts bothering you, I'm going to tell you, you have to make his kingdom. You have to make his kingdom suffer. You have to do damage to his kingdom. If he comes after you, he needs to know you're coming after him.
Yes, amen.
You're coming after him. So he starts coming after you and you start rebuking the devil off of so-and-so, cross over there. I see the spirits that are working over there, Lord, and I have power and authority, and I'm asking that you would rebuke those spirits over there that are binding my cousin, and that the spirit of this and the spirit of that. You start doing damage to his kingdom. He comes after you, you go after him. Go after him. It doesn't matter about what he's doing with you. He's pretty soon going to have to leave you alone and try to go over there and strengthen his forces, because you are having success in what is happening over there. Our prayers, our prayers are powerful if we go after the devil with them.
Yeah.
It's not all about bless this person and bless that person. No, it's going after the Satan in their lives. We can all look around and see where Satan is trying to work. Even among us, we can see sometimes by testimonies and stuff where Satan is trying to work with somebody. And when we hear them testify about that, we can go to prayer for that. We can help damage the kingdom and say, you heard what Sister Mary said in service the other night. You see how she is fighting that battle. I rebuke that spirit. That spirit she's fighting, I'm fighting you too. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You cannot do to her what you have been doing to her, because I'm standing at her side. I've got my sword, and there's two of us now, and the two of us are going to defeat you. You see, you go after him. You have to do damage to the kingdom of Satan. We have to do more damage in this day and age than we've ever had to do.
Yes.
We have to do more, because it is darker than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
It is darker. The night is upon us, and there's not hardly day to work anymore. The night is upon us. Men's minds are almost continually evil, continually, like in the days of Noah. You know, people are saying, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Lot, there was this righteous man so vexed that he didn't have enough sense to move out of the city. He just lived there, letting him vex him every day. Vex him, vex him, vex him. He had no strength to move out and move up on the mountainside with Abraham. You see how the enemy just got a hold of him and put a cloak over him and just vexed his spirit to where he was willing to stay in all that corruption and lose his children. Lose his family. He was willing because he didn't know how to fight. He didn't know how to do it. We can't be like that. And we can't spend all the time fighting for ourselves. We cannot spend all the time fighting the devil off ourselves. If we go on the offensive and fight him at different places, here, there, and everywhere, when he comes our way, we will be strengthened in the inner man, in faith, and we will have what we have need on hand to defeat him when he comes after us. But we've got to do his kingdom some damage. We can't let him just keep going on in people's lives like they are doing. We have to bind spirits. We have to ask the Lord, bind that spirit that's working in their life. Give them a reprieve. Make him so that you can talk to him, Lord. Don't you know that God needs our prayers like that? I don't know why, but he does. He needs our prayers. He needs us praying against the kingdom of the devil. We have to do this. This is part of our calling, is to do damage to the kingdom of Satan. Amen.